Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to each other, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." News of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday Jesus was in his hometown synagogue of Nazareth, and as we saw, when he first spoke, people were filled with astonishment at his words. But that astonishment, because of their familiarity with his family, soon passed to doubt, and from doubt passed to rage, and from rage to homicidal intentions. So Jesus left, and he went to another synagogue, to the place that had already started to have been called his hometown, Capernaum, which is where the one who had nowhere to lay his head laid it down most nights of his public ministry. And he went to a synagogue there and spoke again, and his words amazed and astonished those who were present, because he spoke with authority, unlike their scribes and their Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees always taught by citation. They were constantly quoting the Old Testament. They were constantly quoting rabbinical midrashim, interpretation of various passages and their extra-biblical parables. Jesus came and he cited nothing. He came and he spoke as if he had written it. He spoke as if he were the author, which is where the word authority comes from. We see that throughout his teaching, most spectacularly in his use of parables, which teach things in totally fresh ways, or in the Sermon on the Mount, when saying what Moses had said in the Pentateuch, he said, "But I say to you," he spoke with an amazing immediacy, an incredible authority, and the people were astonished, as justly they should have been. Very important for us to focus on this astonishment and amazement. Jesus doesn't have to cast out a demon in order to make us astonished. But sometimes what can happen over the course of a Christian life is we can lose that initial holy experience of astonishment. The type of astonishment we had when we first started to hear Bible stories. When we first started to imagine that there was a God, that he really cared about us, that he loved us. When we first heard the stories of the great miracles, I remember my astonishment having my mom put her hand through my then hair as she was reading to me on her lap the story of Zacchaeus in the tree. And as a short little runt, I could relate to Zacchaeus and how Jesus wanted to stay in our house there in Lowell, Massachusetts. The astonishment we had when we would go to church, I remember astonishment when we used to go to these novenas, first smell of incense, and I thought it was so cool at 4 years old, even though I couldn't receive Holy Communion, I could go up and kiss the relic, which was given to us at the end, kneeling there at the altar rail. The amazement that we had as we were preparing for our first communion and received Jesus for the first time within, the amazement of a first confession in which we knew our soul had been totally reset to its baptismal beauty. The amazement that happened for us the first time we started to get the inkling that God was calling us to something even more, that the path to sanctity he had set out for us was as a priest or a religious. This experience of being amazed by God, who speaks to us directly with authority, with love, and with a summons. What can happen, though, sometimes is, for all Christians, but likewise for us priests and religious and lay professional Catholics who work for the church, is we can lose that first love, we can lose that first astonishment, we can lose our wonder, the things of faith can become routine, we can start going through the motions. That's when we do great harm to ourselves and some harm to others. God wants always to give us the grace of true astonishment, provided that we're open. Now, how does he do that? Today, in the first reading, St. Paul describes how. By the gift of the Holy Spirit. No one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God, St. Paul tells the Christians in Corinth and here in New York. We've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit was from God so that we might A, understand the things freely given to us by God, and not just understand them at a notional level. Understand how incredible they are. That what seems too good to be true actually is true. To understand them. And then, to speak about them. Not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms. In other words, to be ever even more amazed as we begin to pass on to others what we ourselves have been amazed by already. Speaking in spiritual terms, the packaging that the Spirit gives us once we understand this amazing thing influences the way we share it. We don't do it as a Joe Friday factually announcing the kerygma. We announce it as the most important words any human being could ever say to another. So that sometimes they too can be astonished. And we all know what happens when a saint says the same thing that everybody else does. Now, I remember being in Mother Teresa's presence on June 14, 1995, when she came to found the Missionaries of Charities Convent in the Diocese of Fall River. When Bishop O'Malley had inherited the diocese, it was in terrible shape because of the clerical sexual abuse scandal of Father James Porter. At that point, the second most notorious abuser in U.S. church history, with so many dozens of victims. And as soon as Cardinal Sean was appointed there, he made a phone call to Mother Teresa, whom he knew from his work at Catholic University in D.C., and asked her if she would be kind enough to send sisters, because he said the only way the diocese would be reformed is through charity, through showing the true face of the church. And she agreed. And they made the arrangements, and they found the house and all the other things that were needed. And Mother came. And I had the privilege of being crozier bearer that day. When Mother spoke, she said really simple words. Nothing that would have fallen from the pen of St. John Chrysostom. But it was incredibly powerful. She says, God loves you. Jesus said, whoever receives a little child in my name receives me. As her eyes started to beam and a little bit of the light of God radiated from within her. Simple words, but said with the power of the Spirit, so that they amazed and brought people to tears and to conversion. That's what the Spirit does. He helps us to understand the awesome significance of what Jesus speaks. And he helps us to become living apostolic echoes of that astonishing and amazing diction. Today the Church marks the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, which Patriarch Bartholomew, the Orthodox Patriarch of Constantinople, asked Pope Francis several years ago to institute within the Catholic Church so that Catholics and Orthodox both could pray together for the gift of creation. And in the message Pope Francis wrote for today's celebration, it all started with the words of God at the beginning of time. God saw all that he had created and that it was very good, and structured his response on it. What incredible performative words, from "let there be light" all the way to "let us create man in our own image." We should never cease to be astonished by those words of creation and what those words actually accomplished. The incredible gift of the world that we now have. So many have lost their astonishment at the gift of creation. They just want to call it nature, as if somehow it went there, as they at the same time try to manipulate and change the whole understanding of what nature means. They've lost a sense of wonder, which is why Pope Francis in Laudato Si starts with praise, Laudato Si. Praise be you, Lord. Help restore us to an amazement and astonishment at the continuous effects of God's creative word. At the beginning of time, when God spoke those words, a spirit hovered over creation, which is one of the reasons why, in the absence of a special mass for the care of creation in the Missal, Sister Chiara Madonna brilliantly chose the Mass of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who, as St. Paul says, helps us to understand the things freely given to us by God, and to speak about them taught not with words by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, allows us to understand this gift and to speak about it in ways that will make everybody else go from the creation to the Creator. The most amazing words ever said were not "let there be light" or "let us make man in our own image." They were "this is my body, and this is the chalice of my blood." As we prepare to hear those words and to receive what those words bring into existence, let us praise the Lord for his wondrous gift of creation, and even more wondrous reality of the redemption, which Jesus, not in the synagogue of Capernaum, but in this chapel on 66th Street, speaks, and the Holy Spirit helps us to receive with wonder and pass on, amazed and in an amazing way. Praise be Jesus Christ.